I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
We can talk about books later.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh my God, it feels like it's been ages. It's just been 1 week.
Has it only been? Oh no. I was here last Tuesday.
Last Wednesday.
Oh wow, we did a speedy record.
It's truly like, it's not something.
But you've been to another state since then.
Sometimes we go Star Wars Rogue One and I don't edit it.
Yeah, that was fun.
Is it fun?
Oh, kind of. It means, you know, it's like we hit the button and then that's it.
It honestly, I've been enjoying, I enjoy listening to it.
Yes.
Because I'm listening to it for the actually the first
time. Yeah, you don't have to comb through every bit and then listen to it again for fun.
But I also like to sit at a coffee shop and edit. It makes me feel like I have a purpose.
You do. You do. It's this podcast and this podcast alone.
Yes,
don't you forget it.
I am nothing if not bound to this podcast.
I tied you to it.
And I tied you to me.
That's right. I'm just floating along in your coattails. Brooke's driving down the road and I'm like a can tied to a just married.
We were driving in Connecticut yesterday and my friend Michael and I just kept imagining the like slow motion montage of like the comedy, like the bridesmaid style comedy where like Chris, our friend Chris is pouring vodka out the front window and I'm trying to catch it out the back like a dog.
Oh, that's really
good. But we keep like tripping or whatever. It was a really fun group of people in Connecticut. It's like, it was really, really very, very fun.
That's ideal. Yeah. Tell me about your weekend.
I went to Connecticut, like per usual.
Uh-huh.
I just weekend Second in Connecticut. Home. I am the bougie people that Carrie talks about, except I just go and I let people's parents take care of me.
It's a way better version, honestly.
Except we did a lot of cooking and cleaning this time.
Is this our guest introduction right here?
Well, drum roll, please. It's the moment you've all been waiting for.
Literally, we've teased you with it 17 times.
Girls, people of all genders, ages, and kinds.
Shapes, sizes.
Gender is a construct.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Of all and no gender. It's brother of the pod.
He's here.
I'm here and I'm already being superior about my ideologies.
I'm curious if this is the episode in which I just stop talking at a certain point. I'm very curious to watch this dynamic play out live.
You've seen it.
I do feel like there might be times when your loyal listeners will not be able to tell
what's whose happening.
Voice is whose. Because when I get excited, the register is going to go up.
And when I get calm, the register goes down.
That's really fun. It's a guessing game
so
for your ears.
How will we... I hope we'll find a moment where you're excited and I'm calm.
Nope, you're excited and I'm calm. See, it's already begun.
It'll be, wow, what a test. Can't wait.
We have been spending like a day a week where we play a board game with each other and it's a tradition that I'm starting.
Okay, great.
Love that.
Because Alex Wiseman, put your computer away, Mom.
We're calling you in. We're tapping you in.
He's playing Candy Crush and I say no more. Is Pogo dead?
For me.
Can you tell the people what Pogo is?
Yeah, what the hell is Pogo?
Well.
Please inform us.
Pogo is a game website that...
I remember Pogo.
Yeah. Our mother got me addicted to, and then she and I were monsters.
Did you play the same games together?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. From, like, opposite bedrooms in the house, we'd be, like, playing online gin rummy, never thinking, I wonder if we had a real deck of cards. Could we really just sit face-to-face and play gin rummy?
Oh, that takes work in the way clicking a computer screen doesn't. Yeah. It's just not as satisfying.
Because we are living in a millennial world.
Hey.
And I am a millennial girl.
That was pretty good. I was wondering what it was going to be.
Nice.
Thank you. Alex, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am a big reader.
True.
And I'm a boy.
True. Gender is a construct.
I am a... I, but my gender is a boy.
He identifies.
I identify as a boy.
I don't know if you know this, but you made a comment earlier, so now she's making the comment back at you to be funny.
I understand. I have constructed my gender to be male.
Gorgeous. Love it. We've established that you're male.
I just moved.
It's been almost a year now.
It's been almost a year. Wow. Technically, we moved in September, but then I went back to Chicago to do one more play and then came here in the middle of December.
I met you, though, when you were here briefly, right? Because it was with the two Emilys, and I met you guys in a bar somewhere.
That
was like
when this whole kerfuffle was happening. Oh, yeah.
Is that the first time we met when we went to ABC Kitchen?
Yeah.
I think it was. And then I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then
that was when we lost that apartment.
Yeah. Remember? Wait, no, we must have met before that. I saw you at like WAMU and stuff. Like, but that was when I saw you in New York for the first time, I think so, because that night was I met Emily Stout 2 nights before she went on her first date with my roommate, and they're now
dating.
They're
still together. They've been together almost a year.
Isn't that crazy? Well, that's what I was thinking of, because I was like, damn, that was a year ago almost.
I love Emily Stout.
Yeah, she's the best. She's here right now.
I know.
Yeah.
I've seen Emily Stout more and talked to Emily Stout more in the past week than we have in the entire course of our friendship.
Gorgeous. Love it.
It's really hard for me to introduce myself because I am a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lot. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of diseases. And
Alex is relevant. Pandemic legacy.
My life has had high highs and low lows. And I...
A roller coaster.
Yeah. And a lot of things have led me to where I am right now, which is I'm doing a play on Broadway, which is really fun.
Yep. Hamilton.
I'm in Hamilton. I am playing
George Washington. Do not ruin it for yourself. Someone dies and you do not want to find out who.
But hi, Bridget.
Hi, Brooke.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Splat,
the podcast,
where me, Brooke,
and me, Bridget,
talk about Sex in the City, 10 years younger.
And 20 years later, this time with a brother.
I'm the brother of the pod.
You're the only brother.
You're the only brother.
I am the only brother.
Out of four siblings, you get that lone honor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's amazing what baking can do.
I'm also a little sick and I hear it in my voice, so please don't judge me.
I love when I'm sick on the podcast. It feels like it gives me an edge, and I feel like I can catch up to Bridget a little bit more.
Please. Mm. You guys set really, really high standards for my voice, and I just don't think it can live up to it.
It's truly like drinking a glass of silky-ass milk.
Wow.
Wow.
In your
silky-ass milk. Silky-ass milk would be gross, but we're going to go with the silky-ass milk version.
Did you know... Bridget, I'm going to assume that you don't, and mm-hmm. Brooke, I might assume that you might know that Broadway's Julia Murney's day job when she was younger was being a phone sex operator.
Shut up.
But
maybe that's what I should do.
You should do that.
Because there's no shame in sex work.
There isn't, and there's money, and my body's not at risk.
No. You can just be sitting. Bridget, you can just literally be sitting.
Bridget, you could be smoking.
Eating a cupcake.
Uh-huh.
And you can be like.
There it is.
Tell me more about your beer.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
I'm actually very excited about this.
I might look into this. Guys, write in. Please, if you'd like to weigh in on my next career move 2 weeks after I've started a new job.
You could also totally do that in your own hours.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, I mean supplementary. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think this is
like... Do you need me to be your agent?
Yeah, please, actually. Great. We'll be in touch. This is like part two of my memoir. You know, like we're embarking on... Part two now.
Oh, I don't even know where I am in my memoir.
You are like 70 chapters in.
My memoir is called Three Valves, One Ball. I'm the brother that got cancer, and I really wanted...
As opposed to my other brother.
No, good to clarify.
I really wanted to be here for the Steve episode, but schedule didn't work out. But I went through what Steve went through.
Literally exactly, right?
Literally exactly. Mm-hmm. And this happened when I was in previews for my play.
Hamilton.
For Hamilton. And I only missed 8 performances because...
It's outpatient.
The only thing I couldn't do was the bullet.
Incredible. The last episode, I don't think we commented on this in the very end, but after baby Brady is born, mm-hmm. Steve looks over and he's like, 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 balls. And he looks really relieved and it's cute.
Alex also worked with Dave Eigenberg.
Dave Eigenberg a lot. I did a lot of episodes of Chicago Fire and probably 1 or 2 Chicago Meds with him. And then we also shot a movie together last summer.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Oh, is he... You cannot say this if you don't want to. We can cut it out. Does he have feelings about Sex and the City that you know of? Interesting.
I think they all do.
I'm sure. If you were on this show for more than like two episodes, I feel like you have to have a pretty definitive feeling about it one way or the other.
I would give it maybe like 10 episodes.
Sure.
I have worked with Dave, David Eichenberg, and I can tell you that he is the nicest guy.
I love that for him.
It makes me happy because he seems like it, you know?
I've met his kids a few times and they're so cool.
He has kids?
They're love so great. That. He's so great.
He's like a real person, too.
Have you ever talked to someone in your cast about their experience with Cynthia Nixon?
I haven't.
I'd be fascinated.
Interesting. I haven't.
Well, this episode is called Anchors Away.
It's also called Look at All the Connections We Have to Sex and the City cast members.
It's my one of my favorite.
Really?
Because, well, no. What I mean to say is one of my favorite things about living in New York is Fleet Week.
Which, let me just say really fast, it takes place in the fall in this episode. It is not fall. It happens in May usually, so that's a little factual.
Well, sometimes there's a fall Fleet Week too.
Fascinating.
Because when
I have a lot to learn.
My first 2 years in New York, I lived on 51st and 10th, which is much closer to where the docks are, where the Fleet Weeks. And I used to see those little butts. And man, are they perky. And man, do I like them.
I was going to say, are they little butts? Or are they
They're
nice
just
booties?
Like... Peachy. They are nice round.
Did you see my Instagram story the other day?
Is it about a butt?
Yeah, but a dog butt.
Was it like a waddly, floofy?
Yeah, so I was on my way to Broadway.
Oh, I thought you were talking about another.
I was on my way to the Broadway Softball League because I...
Sorry, are you on Broadway?
It's so funny. This joke gets made a lot because you can finish your story. Just because I overcorrected with when Carol Lindsay took my class. And then we ran into her on the subway.
On the subway.
Did no I way. Tell you? Sorry to hijack the story. Wow. But yes, we like saw each other on the subway platform. We're like... Hey, and then I was like, this is Alex, my brother who's on Broadway.
Oh my God. Wait, stop. That did not happen. That's so funny.
No, it did not happen. You did not introduce me. You did not say what my job was.
Well, I did introduce you.
Yeah, you said, this is my brother.
Well,
and
that's
you didn't even
better.
Mention my cancer.
And the problem with what's happened to me is that when Alex and I are all together, I never know how to introduce Celia.
Yeah, that was weird.
Which is weird because it should be easy. This is my brother and his partner, but he's so much more than that. So
you were telling us about going to Broadway Softball League.
Okay, so I this guy Paul in my show jokes a lot about how some people have a stroke and then after their stroke they like miraculously can speak another language.
That shit's crazy.
Me, I got cancer, and
now
I love sports. I like legitimately hated sports before, and now I love sports. I love them.
Wow. Playing,
watching, mostly watching.
Playing? When, if you when know, did you play sports?
Well,
Okay,
I have played volleyball in the pool.
We'll count it.
And
we'll give that a
0.5. Beer pong.
That gets a 0.25.
When I know the rules and I have something to root for, what's better than sports?
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
what's better than sports?
That I'm not going to go that far because I...
Brooke looks shocked and horrified.
The answer to what's better than sports is musicals,
books,
books about musicals.
Oh,
musicals
yes.
About books.
Musicals about books.
Even better.
Matilda.
I got a lot of
musical about books.
There was a, you know, they've got like those 30-day book challenges. I didn't actually post it, but I did one.
Of course you did.
About songs.
About book of musicals.
Oh, we tried to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was funny.
Alex.
Yeah.
So we know how long you've lived here. You've
I've
been
lived here
for,
a
year-ish, but
a little
like,
under a year.
Yeah. Have you had a Sex in the City moment other than walking through Times Square and hearing the saxophone, which
I would love it if you both defined that.
Just anything that like, I mean, maybe it wouldn't have occurred to you in the moment, but if you've ever had, it could have also been in your like visits to New York before, just a moment that felt like not necessarily even Sex in the City, but like you're
one.
In a glamorous like.
So this has significantly changed since the last time I had, like, since this, my views I think have, are, but the last time that I was gone in LA for a long time was October of 2016. And I was like, oh my God, my friends are here. I love it. Like, you know, planting seeds already. But I came back and I was in Soho. I think I had just gotten my hair done or something. And I was walking in Soho and like it was turning fall. It was fall because it was October. So like fingers crossed it'll be fall. And I was like on the cobblestones and I was like, I was like very
and
much
your hair
like,
was freshly done.
And I was like, wow, I feel like Carrie Bradshaw walking through the city right now. I'm like very aware that I'm like in New York City and thinking about how much I love being in New York City.
Or someone we had on a guest who was talking about some, they went to like a fancy gala. And then afterwards, a bunch of people went to like a diner in their fancy gala gowns and were eating like burgers at 2 a.m. And whoever this was literally like, I had the moment where I was like, if someone walked by outside the window, this would like look like a Sex and the City moment.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. So on my birthday this year, my boyfriend and I went to a fancy dinner.
Where'd you go?
Oh, some Italian restaurant in the village. Good, good, good. And then we were walking to a bar to meet up with some friends, and we ran into another friend of mine who is like a New York Times bestselling author.
Jesus.
And we were like, how funny running into you. Oh, yes, it's his birthday. Oh, wow. See you soon. Going to a bar to meet other people. Why, here in New York, you run into famous people all around you.
Mm-hmm.
That felt Sex and the City-like.
Totally. I would agree.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Great. Do you know which of the women or characters you identify with, if not a hybrid?
Yeah, I'm a Charlotte Miranda hybrid.
Oh, I think you're a Miranda Charlotte.
Yeah, I'm a Miranda with a Charlotte rising.
Yep.
Think you're Charlotte? Why?
I think I'm Charlotte because of my perfectionism.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a Charlotte because of my need to fit into other people's narratives.
A little judgmental.
Maybe a little. I think I'm a Charlotte because I.
Those all fit.
I sometimes look down on other people's behavior.
Mm-hmm. You know what? If that's a Charlotte moment, then like that's where I have Charlotte too. I'm not open or outward about it, but I fucking judge everything I come into contact with and every person, which
yeah,
I know
I
is being
like,
human.
Well, I think I specifically get judgmental around what I have deemed reckless behavior.
Interesting. And Charlotte definitely has a list of what she deems reckless behavior.
Yeah.
Can I ask a follow-up, which is just like, how much of this show have you watched? Like, have you done it all?
Yeah, what is your experience with Sex and the City?
I watched it live.
Yeah.
Yeah, like all of it, do you think?
Damn.
You had a very open house.
and I remember...
Oh my God, I bet Mom's going to listen to this episode. She never listens, but she's going to listen.
For Alex.
She's his,
hey, Pod Mom.
He's her favorite.
She's his favorite. She's his favorite mom.
I suppose that I you know, was like every other closeted kid in middle and high school and was like, I just like watch the pretty ladies on the TV. Oh, boobs. But
there are so many boobs in this episode.
So many boobs.
It made me happy.
Me too, actually.
But I remember thinking... And then I would watch the reruns all the time, especially when they got syndicated on cable and they were a little...
less boobs.
Less boobs and less language.
Mm-hmm. It was a little too risque
like
for you.
Yeah, the language really gets my Charlotte going. No, I love language.
Honestly, so many things you've said are relevant to this exact episode.
Yeah, well, very excited.
I feel like we described all my Charlotte qualities, which is...
Yeah,
but
what are your
definitely
Miranda?
More of a Miranda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hundo-pee.
Well, it's just... I feel like it's rare people... that we know identify as Charlotte at all. And so I'm always curious about it. But yeah, tell me about your Miranda side.
Oh, well, I'm the ugly friend.
How dare you say anything about...
I forgot also that that was like the reputation though that she had.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Are
forever.
You telling me that that's not the narrative constructed
I forgot
for
it.
Her
I just have
by the creators of the show?
But no,
she's
you're right.
So beautiful. And also, you know, you're not the ugly
yeah,
friend.
Yeah, also that was my
mother
also
is
shock.
Actually Cynthia Nixon, but that is the
right.
role that she has played.
Yes, yes, yes.
When
yes.
all four of them are together,
works.
That's the dynamic.
I always felt in my, I think maybe this is actually partially why I relate to Miranda too, is I've never been like, I'm ugly, but...
Well, I've always identified as the ugly friend, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've had my moments of that, but more specifically, I've just always felt like all my friends were a level above me. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like, I'm the ugly friend, but just like, oh, when we walk into a room, that's where everyone's eyes go.
Me too, I feel that
but
way.
Then I also, I turn that into a pride in not caring, which ultimately leads to more insecurities. So it's sort of like
right,
a...
Right, because it becomes like...
Being a Miranda is like a snake that's eating its own tail sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes. I would agree. Hey, Brooke has a tattoo. Side, right? Yeah. Okay. Well done. Good mix. Do you do you have any Samantha in you? Do you have any Carrie in you?
Oh, he definitely went through a Samantha phase.
I went through a Samantha phase.
Okay, I'll take that.
I was very big, and then I lost a lot of weight. And I was like, I'm a Samantha.
Yeah, I get that.
Do you see why in knowing Alex and me together in our relationship, Charlotte, Carrie, but we're both Mirandas?
I don't think I'm very much Carrie at all.
But I mean, like, in terms of me being a Carrie, him being a Charlotte.
And you sharing the Miranda. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was also just curious about that because Brooke is, like, such a hardcore Carrie, and that's, like, the one thing you didn't slip in, like, at all there. Granted, I asked about Samantha, but... Yeah, I see it, but it's interesting to me.
I mean, sometimes, like, I get about my books the way that Carrie gets about her shoes.
Interesting.
That's actually very...
You do don't have, like, an equivalent apartment for Alex's book collection. Books. Yeah. No, totally.
But I also... Yeah, I don't think I'm a Carrie. Yeah. I don't think that I need 22 minutes... to decide how I feel about something the way that she does every week.
I also don't think you're, like, the most, like, romantic.
Well, not with you.
But I mean, like, your life has never been about boys in the way that, like, mine is.
And also, you've been in, like, a serious relationship years?
Four.
So you've been really solid in that for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Carrie's so defined by her, like, dating and men and experiences, and I feel like a four-year relationship, like, you're defined by the relationship, sure, in some ways, but it's a different vibe.
Yeah
interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have any other questions, comments before we dive in?
Anything you just want to tell the listening audience before we go? Free reign. Here's your chance.
I'm probably I don't think I'm a Stanley.
Stanford? How dare you.
Stanford, and what's Mario Cantone's character's name?
Anthony.
Andrew. Oh, that's interesting. Anthony. I almost just said Andrew, so we both fucked up.
I think I'm more of a Stanford than
The OTP with Sex and the City here, I guess.
Clearly.
OTP?
One True Pairing.
Oh, God, I'm old.
Because I am living, and I'm a believer.
There it is.
Oh, I got it.
She got it back.
Guys, I can't believe it took you... 4 seasons to get to
Shrek's in the City. Granted, we didn't start the Shrek stuff for a while, but yeah, it was right there
also,
in front of us.
Also, may I speak on behalf of your listeners that we were promised a full cast of Sex and the City with Shrek characters?
Oh, I know.
And you never delivered on that promise.
Oh my God, thank you so much for reminding us. I'm making a note in my phone so that we can do it.
The next reminder I have in my phone is for October 1st, and it's to remind me that Bridget and I want to be Donkey and
Shrek for Halloween.
But I'm going to be in LA.
I said Shrekin, so we're really hitting all
of
the names.
When are you in LA and for how long?
I'm going for a week in October.
Oh, were you there for Halloween?
And then Mom's like, Fernando might sublet from Brooke when she's in LA. I'm like,
in January.
When is that happening?
In January.
For how long?
Couple months.
Brooke's going to LA for a few months.
This is brand new information to Alex Wiseman.
There was something in the air that night. Yeah, I've been talking about this. Ceiling notes.
I don't see.
Oh my God.
Anyone. I live in a basement.
Well, now you know.
It's a basement.
All right, now you know.
Good shit happens though, so you know.
Unless you want me, you know.
My favorite part of this episode so far is the gorilla.
I'm a big fan of the Apple TV.
I like the mute button symbol.
All right.
Shall we?
Anchors away.
Anchors away.
I love revealing big information on the podcast. Live responses.
Oh my God.
Niner, niner, we are here.
Wait, also, I think we've definitely talked about it on the podcast.
I definitely
have. Maybe in passing joked in, about like, it and walked, you took it as
walked not, around it.
Uh-huh.
Well.
We were keeping it a secret just for this fun reveal.
All right.
Anchors away, baby.
French music is playing.
Beautiful.
The fountain.
Carrie loves that when you're single and you live in New York, there is no end of the way to fill your days. And she likes that she can go to Paris.
I'm just like,
whenever she wants.
She's like naming all these things that you could do if you weren't single. And then she goes to a movie. Oh, yeah. Because this is down in Soho, I think. Paris theater.
It's a theater, and she's going to go see a
French
film.
And she's very excited to see a movie by herself, which I will say is an amazing thing to do.
It is, and it's something that I feel like you don't do anymore because of technology. Like, if I'm going to see a movie by myself, I'm not going to pay to go.
I disagree. I feel like the advent of MoviePass.
Well, RIP. Well,
I never got RIP.
Also, let me tell you how much I would hate sitting in a movie theater with Carrie Bradshaw, who is pouring Whoppers into her mouth and chewing them with her mouth open so that you can hear it on the fucking recording.
Bridget and I both have misophonia. Which is that, like, thing where...
I, like, get panic attacks. It's, like, a visual and repeated sound stimuli. And it's, like, a fight or flight. Like, clicking pens, whistling. Ugh. Like, it'll bring me to tears. College lecture halls were the worst. So awful. I'm very prone to it. But I'm, like people who chew gum with their mouth open, who nightmare. Snap their gum. I'm, like, unequivocally...
You pop that gun. I'm, one like, more time.
I'm, like, you're a bad person and you can't change
my mind.
It's like
a fucking zoo in here. A fly zoo.
That's because there's a hole in our door.
We figured so many things out already in this podcast. So they're at brunch for the first time with a new addition.
Brady.
Baby Brady.
And Samantha is complaining that Richard keeps calling to say he's sorry because he caught her. And she's like, I'm not sorry that I caught him eating another girl's big fat pussy.
I also love that Charlotte's like, don't curse in front of the baby. Out. And Miranda's like.
This baby who is ostensibly, because Samantha says he's been calling for 3 weeks. So this baby who looks like a 4-month-old has for 3 weeks.
Well, we don't know how long. Oh, 3 weeks.
But yeah, because it all happened in the same night.
They start coming up with euphemisms for pussy, which is now sushi.
Sushi and then Miranda
fish and
says,
chips fish is and what chips they ordered.
Would have been a bad order. And basically,
Carrie
tells them that she went to a movie by herself.
And Charlotte goes, on date night?
Which also, is there just a universal date night? I assume
Friday,
we mean Saturday? Friday?
I don't know. You're in a relationship.
Date night is whenever we're both awake.
Right. That's what I figured, too. Like, what does Charlotte mean by that?
Our date nights are like Monday nights because of the theater schedule.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, that cupcake's
so,
done for.
Samantha wants to play... Well, bye. Samantha wants to play one of Richard's messages for them all on her cell phone. And they basically are like, no, stop. Like, we don't want to hear it.
And Charlotte's like...
Wow, Charlotte, this is crazy that Charlotte is saying that, yes, it's tragic that you were in love and now you have to move on. Charlotte, of all people...
Mm-hmm. Who cannot let go.
Listen,
so Charlotte's
when Charlotte
new theory,
comes through...
Yes, she comes through. And it makes it all the better because then it's like a surprise and it goes against type.
But doesn't it feel false?
Well, I love Miranda in this moment kills me because Charlotte brings up this whole like, listen, everybody knows that everybody only gets two great loves in their life. And
I read it in a magazine.
And they're all like, wait, who's everybody? But Miranda is like, you hypocrite. A year ago, it was all about your one big love and how
Miranda
you
goes,
found
Miranda
him.
Goes, what magazine? Convenient Theories for You Weekly?
It's so good. And so, Carrie's also like, what the fuck does great love mean?
It means a love that changes you, that shakes you to your core, after which you're never the same.
And she says, seriously, there is not an unlimited amount of love in the world.
Oh, wow. You guys, I just read a book.
Mm-hmm.
Less.
Shocking. Oh, we've heard of this.
It won the Pulitzer this year. Mm-hmm. But there's a conversation that two people in there who are on their 50th birthday say about, and this one woman, her wife just left her for another mm-hmm. lover. And she says, what if what we think of as love isn't love? What if what we think of as love, which is, you know, patience and compassion and mm-hmm. sleeping while letting your partner sleep while you walk the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that that's what love is. And then you meet someone and you're like shocked to your core.
Mm.
And you're like, oh my God, that is what my great love was supposed to be. This whole life I've been wasting my time.
Mm.
And it's like this
different kinds of love too, which is important here.
Before we get into this conversation, yeah. because I really want to, just really quickly, because uh-huh. I think that it's not dissimilar from this conversation,
uh-huh.
is that Charlotte's like, I've had one, Trey. How many of you had? Miranda says zero.
And they say, what about Steve? And she's like, Steve's my friend. He's not my, you know,
Samantha's like, fuck love. I want lovers. And Carrie goes, I refuse to define it. And Charlotte goes,
I refuse to define love in those limited terms.
And Charlotte goes, well, you've had Aiden and Big.
Which is also just like for the person who just said you only get two loves is being like, well, oh, no, fuck you, you're done.
That's what Carrie says. She goes, well, according to you, I'm done. And then Charlotte immediately starts spinning. So just really quickly, that, mm-hmm. I just wanted to get that
yeah,
out there.
Yeah,
no,
it's a good, that's how the conversation crumbles. And that's where.
Carrie, who's handling this surprisingly well.
Yes.
She is.
For now.
She's like, you said it. It's over for me.
Well, I, because of this, mm-hmm. even though I know that by the end we discover that that's wrong, but I, this is something that like has plagued me for my whole adult life because
from this show,
Jesus. Concept of having two great loves. I was like, well, I had my boyfriend in college and I had the boyfriend right after. Well, the person I did. Right.
You're big.
Whatever.
Who we talk about all the time.
I was like, great. One, two, done. And I was like, fuck.
Also, but I don't know. There's so many.
I mean, I don't. I know that that's not true. Yeah. And like, I will find.
But it's also just testament to how deeply this show ingrained itself in everyone's psyches who watched it in the 2000s.
Don't. Yeah.
No, please. Come for me.
I'm not. Listen, we all come from away.
I think you. Bing. But come for me.
I'm not coming for you. What I'm saying is, don't you think that you have decided that and then you're making it true for yourself?
I don't think that it is true anymore, but I think that it's definitely something that I thought of.
Well, it's also interesting because ostensibly then, by the time that would have been one and done, you would have been, what, like 24? Whereas Carrie's in her, you know, 30s. And it's just I do think what Carrie says gets at it a little bit where she's like, you know, I don't like to define love in those terms. But I don't know. I just think there are different kinds of love across the board. And like she's talking about partner love. Which, you know, ostensibly you want that like shook to your core feeling. But I don't think, as with anything in this show, you can black and white limits it. It just leads to funny plots and you know.
It's interesting.
Charlotte is setting herself up with so much pressure too. It's like the perfect Charlotte storm where she's like, well, now I've had one, so I have to find my perfect next one. You know, like she's always setting herself traps.
I also just think it's a really interesting acting choice that Sarah Jessica Parker made to still be eating mm-hmm. during that. Where she's like having that, she's like taking a bite and chewing, and it's like, I don't buy it. I sort of don't buy that she takes that as lightly and wouldn't sort of come for Charlotte a little stronger, or at least put her sandwich down.
Right.
At least put her sandwich down. Well, I was gonna say is that the thing that I find myself becoming more and more like Carrie every day, and I slowly wanting to murder my own body, is that like. I'll be like, yeah, that's fine. Like, I'll have like a quip and a sass or a sarcasm, like mm-hmm. add a person to like diffuse whatever's happening. And then I will like privately go, home and go cry like, about it later. I wonder to myself and like spiral out of control, which is like in what she's going to do.
Mm-hmm. Also, cute moment that happens at the very end of that scene is Samantha says, fuck. And Charlotte like gives her another stink eye and she says, you took pussy. I need fuck.
So now they're
a great line by itself.
They're walking in the park and. So Miranda's just like, Brady's like, you know, an 8-year-old in a stroller
right.
in a carrier. So she's having a hard time because at this age also, from what I know, she would probably have him in like a Bjorn.
Like he's little. He's supposed to be a 3-week-old baby.
A Bjorn like, in 2001?
He's a new Bjorn.
But I'm saying he would be nice.
Thank you.
Like he, it's supposed to, you're supposed to have as much like chest contact as possible.
Really? I don't know that 18 years ago they thought that.
No, I know. But I'm saying now.
Maybe now. Well, basically, they're all kind of like, do you want me to carry him? Like, what's happening? And she's fussing.
Sailors.
And
sailors.
Then sailors. And ladies, Samantha seamen.
Goes, 12 o'clock. And Miranda goes, I swear to God, I hope I turn around and there are sailors walking. She goes, aha! It's very cute.
It's cute. Oh, wow. We have just spotted our first sailors. Fleet Week has begun.
I love Ring Carrie's the bell, hair ladies. Right now.
Here's the thing. I dislike her hair in this entire episode. I don't know why. I think it makes her look like a 7-year-old girl.
The way that they zoom in and short, they're all just like have very specific ogglies. That one in the middle.
Oh, my God. It looks like he's 55. So they're all goggling.
They really, like, they really just do not style Miranda at all.
I know. It's a good thing her face and also her hair cut is more flattering now, but it's still like fire engine-y brassy again. Her hair has never maintained the same like red color for more than like 2 episodes in a row.
It's hard to be a redhead.
Okay, can we just talk really quickly about the ploppability of these 4 outfits?
Yes.
Yes. Well, let's pause them.
Let me say right off the bat, I'm obsessed with this Carrie coat sweater. Samantha is wearing, oh, and yeah. I would wear it all over the place. The big like hanging off the shoulders thing.
So, yeah. So we have a 70-year-old taxi. So we have Carrie in like a like that cab.
Yep.
Why, that cab is from 1942.
Carrie's in this really chunky turtleneck sweater.
I love it.
I would wear this
autumnal
shit
as hell.
Of.
It looks great. It looks cozy.
Miranda's wearing some blue cardigan.
Yeah, but even
brown
Miranda,
suede
it's like
overcoat.
The t-shirt underneath it all. That's so unflattering.
Yeah, it's like a Hanes. They make her wear simple, boring colors and like bad styles.
Because the coat is cute.
It is. I love a suede.
Samantha's in like a bit. Charlotte's in a waspy trench coat, and Samantha's in this like beautiful white polar bear type.
Like off the shoulder quilted thing.
And then
gorgeous.
It's belted.
Seriously, like look at this taxi in the foreground versus the one in the background.
It really right? is.
It's like 40 years apart.
Thank you.
And they basically, Samantha hails it.
And they put Miranda in
just
a cab.
Like shove Miranda into it. And there's a like Miranda looking through the back window shot of her like seeing her friendships and her like way of life disappearing behind her into the horizon.
Well, she's also going back in time. That was
she got in the magic cab. It's like the cash cab, but weirder.
It's actually Halloween Town. So I cannot wait to watch the Halloween Town trilogy.
Do you know that 2-time Tony Award winner Cynthia Nixon made her was on Broadway in 2 shows at the same time?
Yes, we know.
Wait, which one? Which two?
The Real Thing and Arcadia.
Nope.
The Real Thing and
Indiscretions.
Indiscretions.
Oh, god damn. How does one do that?
She does it by being in the first and last scene of one of the plays.
Wow.
And one scene in the middle of the other play.
And it's a Genius. Rule now that you can't do that anymore because of her.
Because of her.
She's truly a revolutionary and she's ready to be the governor. You guys, the 110 stop is open again.
Breaking rules, setting rules.
It is.
Nice.
As of when?
Today.
Hell yeah.
We won't go to the museum now.
So Miranda gets home.
Which museum?
Isn't that the museum stop?
No, that's 81st Street and it's always been open.
I'm new here.
You should go to the museum.
You should go to the museum.
The best place.
It's great.
So Miranda gets home with her little bubby and there's...
And Magda's there.
There's Magda cleaning up and being sweet and she's like, let Magda help. And Miranda's like, I got it. Keep doing the thing you were doing to the mirror. I'm going to get
the baby on the floor.
Yeah, I'm going to get the baby nurse. So we have two people hired help in her house.
And then Steve comes in looking like Steve from Blue's Clues.
He really, really does. A literal blue and blue striped collared shirt. He tries to hand the baby, the 3-week-old baby, a bite of his sandwich, which just even for Steve is remarkably dumb.
And Miranda's like, where did you get that? And Magda's like, guilty.
And she's like, listen, I have a schedule. I have to get him down for a nap. Steve, you can't just be like hanging here. And she basically like pushes him. Oh, wait, no, first. He says, hey, how's your nipples?
And she's like, why are you asking me about my nipples?
And he's like, Lena said they were sore sometimes.
Lena, the bed nurse.
Yeah, Lena is the baby nurse
who doesn't speak. This woman was like, I'm going to be on Sex and the City. Doesn't speak. Like, what
and
do you
and
think?
Then do you, and how do you think course, she was thinking when she went to her costume fitting and she ended up in scrubs?
I was going to say, also, of course, she's a rare woman of color who literally does not get a line.
What do you think that the audition was like for that?
I bet that there was fake copy is usually how that works.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
Please.
I know that there's a YouTube video about, like, all the times that people of color spoke on Friends.
I'm sure.
Is there
one
for Sex and the City?
I'm sure there is one, and it's going to be a minute and a half long. Tops.
Yeah.
Tops. I bet there is. We should look that up. I'm curious. She's basically just like, why are you talking about my nipples? And he's like, oh, I talk about them with everyone I meet on the street. So it's
he's
a
cute.
Big topic.
Oh, his Blue's Clues shirt has a 6 on the back. Don't worry.
Oh, good, good, good. Distinguishing features.
And she like pushes him out.
He's been there for, I don't know, Charlotte. Very, very brief time.
Charlotte
gets off the elevator and the elevator operator says, yeah, nice shot there. Says, have
good
a nice evening,
evening
Mrs. McDougal. So she must just have like a, I don't know, label make or something ready. She snips a perfect, and she doesn't stick it on or anything. She just, it perfectly adheres. And now the front door says York instead of McDougal.
Okay, I don't think it's weird to have access to a label maker.
No, I do. I do think it's weird. Potentially 20 years ago.
I love label
because
makers. I think
label makers are amazing,
weird,
but she was like cutting it out of the paper.
Our mom had a label maker.
Well, there you go. More so, she was cutting it out of paper, and then the paper magically adhered to the paper behind it. Which
Richard
is gorgeous.
Keeps calling Samantha, and she's giving into it, but she's.
She like walks in and hears a call from him where he's on the messaging machine like, I miss you, gorgeous. I won't stop calling until you agree to see me. So you may as well meet me at this sushi place.
And
she's
like
right
sushi.
Sentiment, wrong word.
Because of their euphemism. Because
it reminds her immediately that she caught him eating pussy.
She's giving me Amneris and Aida vibes. And
yeah.
I'm here for it.
This was gorgeous. I was waiting. I didn't know what it would be, but it would
earrings.
Be something.
Is he good looking?
I think he is a man who you think is good looking because it, you get the essence that he once was. You know, like, I'm not sure I find him super handsome at this age.
Oh, she's about to do what Angelica Houston did on Smash.
Exactly. So many times.
She sits down. He says, I was very optimistic and ordered you a martini. She takes the olive out of it.
A dirty martini. She goes, dirty martini.
Dirty bastard.
And she throws it in his face.
She takes the the olive out kindly first, and then she throws it in his face. And the clever transition shot I've seen in so long. He was wiping his face with a napkin, and it switches to Carrie like wiping her face off on the phone.
I did speech and debate in high school. Mm-hmm. Brooke did also. Mm-hmm. That would have been an amazing piece of tech.
Oh.
A transition, like one character going to wash their face, and when they wipe their hands away from their face, you've transitioned to another character.
That sounds like some theater magic right there, honestly. Not just speech and debate.
So Samantha threw a drink in his face. I always wanted to do that. Have you ever done that?
Nope, never a drink.
I can film drunk Brooke. A martini drunk Brooke
would do it. I've had moments where I would have, there are moments I would have had the person been in front of me, that it was like literally only circumstance that prevented me from, you know?
I would love to do it.
She does it so beautifully too. She walks in looking amazing, gets his hopes up. He's thrilled to see her. She sits down, throws a drink in his face and leaves, and it's perfect.
She's like, I must end him. I need to do something worse.
So she's on the phone with Carrie now telling her about the encounter. And Carrie's like, I don't know. Listen, I cheated on Aiden and he forgave me. And they're both kind of like, yeah, that was a different scenario.
And look how that turned out. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, Carrie does have a sense of humor about it, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
She says, it wasn't a sushi situation. Sushi situation.
A sushi situation.
And then Samantha goes off where she's like, by the way, I didn't sign up for baby brunches either. I signed up for friendship.
I have a question.
Yep.
Is Samantha still working for Richard at this point?
Well, I think that's what she's terminating, because in this scene, she's dramatically tearing up like articles that she's ostensibly had written about him, including she picks up like a headshot of his.
And she's shredding it.
And I think that's where she gets the idea.
Things I would like for Christmas, Hanukkah, my birthday. A shredder and a label maker. Ah.
Great things. Label makers are amazing. Let me just say, I do love a label maker.
I want a Roomba.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't help but wonder.
Gadgets.
Does that sense of adventure still flicker inside of us? Or when it comes to being carefree single girls, have we missed the boat? Get it?
So can I ask how old they are?
Carrie is 33.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte's 35.
Uh-huh.
Samantha is
in her 40s.
And Miranda's somewhere in there.
Probably also 35-ish.
I am not that much younger than they are.
No. Yes. How are you feeling watching this?
I'm curious. Yeah. After
I
feel have
am,
had some.
I think that my carefree days are over.
Well, I was going to say too, like, do you have friends who you've witnessed have this transition, either marriage or kids specifically, or where things are, you're just like, oh, this is different now.
Kids,
I'll say that
less.
The timeline is a little different for actors in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids less, because I guess I do have carefree nights.
Are you kidding me?
I've heard tale of you coming in as Brooke leaves for work at 6 a.m.
At 6 a.m., give him some credit.
4 a.m. That's better. I mean, or for whom? Not for you going to work.
I don't do that anymore.
We love it.
Carrie
has a whole day in her schedule with nothing to do, which is confusing, but I mean, fair.
I did that today.
Okay, cool.
Actually, I worked this morning.
Yeah, there you go. And so she's like, I'm going to go visit Miranda and make her feel better. So she brings her a pain au chocolat.
And she opens the door. The door
and
opens
Lena
and it's
there,
Lena, the silent.
And Lena says nothing to her. And
she's like, I don't know you.
And Carrie says, does she speak?
I think Cynthia Nixon looks beautiful in this scene.
Actually, this is important. Carrie says, does she speak? And Miranda says, no, I love her.
Her hair is different from the previous scene.
It is a completely different haircut.
She's a totally different haircut.
And the color is different. It's not so brassy.
Yeah, it's much blonder.
It looks nice.
I wonder if that means that was a reshoot.
The opening. Yeah, which we'll
and
have
then,
to see what comes
and
back.
And then we get nipple.
The first boob. Hang on, we're going to get a second real soon.
This is not her nip. That is not her boob.
It might be.
I wonder.
Carrie's having such a violent reaction.
We have seen her boob before.
Reaction.
Haven't we seen her boobs and they are tiny?
But now it's breast boobies.
Breast boobies, which is
I know. It's
did Cynthia Nixon really have a baby?
Well, she did, but I don't know if the
that's
timeline
a fake
lines
boob.
Up.
It's a fake
it
boob.
Is a fake boob.
Yeah.
That's also a fake boob.
They are. They're so fake
Carrie's
breasty. Carrie's
having like such
feeding
a
boobs.
Bizarre response to these boobs. I'm like, I see my
one
friend's boobs
is
all
whipped
the time.
Out. Yeah, same. One is whipped I'm out like, and Carrie is literally like not sure where to look, what she should do. And she doesn't say anything, but it's like, you're a 33-year-old woman. How many of your friend's boobs have you seen?
I see my friend's boobs all the time.
Yeah. Not to mention like my sister will breastfeed and I've never once been like, oh, you dare bring your exposed breast around me.
Yeah. And then
Miranda is more worried. She whips the other boob out and is like, let's try the other side, because Brady hasn't eaten. She hasn't been able to get him to eat for an hour. He's not
latching. Baby is not 3 weeks old.
He looks like a four-month-old. Not kidding. At least.
And Carrie's like trying to sort of talk about her like great love moment. And
Miranda did ask, to be fair.
Yeah, and Miranda's like having a like bit of a breakdown about like how she's losing her life and how Samantha hates her now, and like she's
her friendships are important, and more importantly too, she's like, my brain doesn't work. Like, I forget everything. I can't have a good conversation. I can't be witty.
This I can relate to.
Yeah.
My friendships are important to me because
when I had a baby.
Mm-hmm. No. My job is very time consuming.
Yes.
Very time consuming.
And at times when most other people, although you know a lot of like artists and theater friends, most other people are on their like off time while you're busy.
Yeah. But more like, I would say, mental energy. Mm-hmm. And any spare that I get, any spare
moment.
Energy, not time.
Energy moment, yeah, like, yeah. That I get, I have to give to, I don't have to, I get to give to my partner.
Yeah, totally.
And so my friendships, which have always been my number one, are unfortunately my number three right now.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm sort of in two marriages, is sometimes what my life
friendships
feels like right
now. Friendships take work and time. Significant eyes. You're not married, but
she's rolling her eyes because I'm not married. But, you know, four years, it's like.
You're in two intensive domestic partnerships.
Yeah.
Friendships take as much work and time as love relationships. And I think people sometimes forget that or like don't inherently put that in. And then you reap what you sow sometimes. Like, I've learned that lesson a few times in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Charlotte in the ugliest hat I've ever seen.
Hey.
It's like a bucket hat, but it's like flannel and it's pink. But it's like houndstooth, tweedy. It's bad. And she's going with Anthony, not Andrew, to go see a movie because Carrie said the French movie she saw was great. And they see some cute ass sailors.
And they are hitting on them.
I can't believe anyone is hitting on Charlotte in that hat. It's testament to how shiny her hair is and
it's
how
so
cute her
shiny.
Face is. And she won't go back. Anthony's like, you have to go give him your number. And she won't. She's like, what would I even do with him? And he says, you are so not gay. Because she tells him she doesn't want to hook up, have casual sex. She wants to look for her next great love.
Yeah. And he's like, you're annoying.
Basically. He's looking at her. He also says, when was the last time you had sex? And she's like, I don't remember. And he's like, girl, if you can't remember, that is danger zone. And she's like, well, when did you? And he says, 10:30 this morning in the gym. Anthony knows what he's
okay,
about.
But it's true. Like, I'm sorry, Grindr women, we were talking about this weekend. The Grindr, it's not the same thing. Like Grindr versus Tinder even, like it's a lot less, I feel a lot less safe.
Well, that's part of it is I think, I mean, there are safety issues for everyone, but like, I don't know. I personally would never use an app to just go to someone's house for the first time.
No.
And I know
many
friends of mine who have used Grindr or Tinder, honestly, in that way specifically, but
I don't
they're
know
always
any,
male friends.
I don't know any women that have done that.
Do you have friends who would do that, who would just like from an app go to someone's house, do you think?
I don't know. I think that it's pretty common to meet in public first.
I think so too.
My
I think
friends
maybe
have
now.
Done it.
Yeah,
it's
I know
it's been a long
have,
time
but...
for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went. I had a very brief 6 month spell when I actually came to New York for New Year's Eve because one of my best friends was going through a breakup, and I was like, I'm gonna come to New York and be your New Year's Eve kiss.
Mm.
And she and I downloaded Tinder onto my phone,
and that was like the start of it.
Yeah, that was the start of it.
Dang.
And then 6 months later I met Alex.
Wow.
So I was only
so your Samantha phase ended because you got into a relationship.
You had a Samantha phase before that.
Oh, this wasn't the Samantha phase. I'm sorry, I'm conflating. I see.
I really want to emphasize that Alex has a Samantha phase.
I love it.
I don't know why I'm like,
I mean,
I'm like,
you're proud
I'm
of
like,
it.
Don't forget. I don't think
wild days.
I haven't really had one.
I had my time in college, but I don't think I would call it a Samantha phase. That was more like scraps of when and where you can get attention and sex. So good times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do think I think something about this that does feel true is like the longer you've gone, at least for me, the longer I have gone without having sex, the more impossible. It's like, well, I'm never going to have sex again ever in my life. And I think when you're an Anthony, it feels more important because it's like a part of your life.
Oh, you're going to enjoy this. So Samantha's papering around with...
She used that headshot that was in her hand to make a bright fluorescent pink...
And who,
flyer.
Which cop, also a car from 1942, comes out, but...
Literally. Oh my God, it's Chandra Wilson.
Exactly. It's a young Chandra Wilson.
Who comes out playing a cop, and she's like, ma'am, you can't, like, defile city property that way, basically.
She's like, because the man's like, he fucked an... I walked in... He told me he loved me, and I walked in on him eating another woman's pussy, and Chandra Wilson goes, carry on, ma'am. And gets back great. In the car.
And then Samantha, and instead of taping them to... street signs.
What is she wearing?
Just
what is she wearing? She's wearing
air.
A pink shirt with sequins on it. Not even like little sequins. Like this is a sequin top. Like my like 3-year-old child just made a
yeah.
piece of thing in class.
And a tan leather jacket that's been like sewn together at pieces. Brooke is really horrified by the sequins.
Horrible to see.
Scarring.
They're so, at the Guggenheim.
In their last moments together, Miranda and Carrie have this like witty banter where she's like, what are you doing with the rest of your day? And Carrie's like, I'm going to the Guggenheim and then we'll see. Who knows? And Miranda's like, you're having a date with your city. So we're still kind of in this like, I love New York thing. So Carrie tries to go to the Guggenheim.
But it's closed on Thursdays.
And the wind blows her dress up and you fully get an underwear shot.
And just in case you didn't know it was windy, they had a man carrying balloons walking by. And he's having a very difficult time.
What was that casting call like?
Her hair still looks impeccable.
It does.
Oh, and now it's starting to rain.
And at each of these moments, Carrie fully just screams.
Screams.
She screams,
like, screams
the
bloody
wind.
Murder.
She screams about the thing being closed and then she screams and it rains.
And she lands under
one of those like awnings of a nice apartment building.
And this is a weird scene because
it's super weird.
There's a handsome man and she's like, ha ha ha.
He's literally credited as cute rain guy.
And she like tries to like, she's like, oh, at least we'll have to stay here for a while. Something about getting married. And then she
does this whole like, if this were a rom-com, you and I would get married and have two kids.
And he doesn't say a word. And she keeps going and he just doesn't say a word again.
Well, she kind of tries to do this thing. The first time he doesn't react, she backtracks and she's like, well, no, I just mean... You know, if this were a movie, and he literally does not speak.
He doesn't speak. It's like, what are you doing, sir?
And then she's like, I was just pointing out how romantic this would be in a movie. I don't want to marry you.
I can see myself doing this.
And he, I can see you doing
I can see myself
too.
Doing this too.
And he literally, she's like, I mean, we just met. Let's wait 5 minutes. And then he literally looks at her and pulls his coat tighter and fucking runs out into the rain.
He's like, I can't deal with
this. I'd rather be in the storm than talk to this crazy lady. And she doesn't feel great about it.
And then she ends up going to a diner and she has this weird conversation.
She wants to go for matzo ball soup. Hello.
Love
Paging
her for
Brooke.
That. Paging. I'm a Jew.
Brooke,
hello.
Jewish. Hey.
Hi.
Guys.
Yes.
There is a Jewish thing on screen. Did you catch
God.
It?
And this woman is basically like.
He is
ah.
so Sorry, finish.
This woman's like putting lithium on her ice cream. She's like, ah, singles. Singles are only allowed at the bar. I had a love once, Marty.
And I broke up with him because I thought I'd find someone better. And
so
I
let me
never
say
did.
That Carrie walks into this diner deli, hair drenched like a small wet dog. She leaves. Her hair looks
literally fully
blown
I mean,
out.
I mean, they do a full. She's a wet dog. She has like stringy wet hair, and then she has a full curly blowout as she's leaving.
Frustrating. So then she's like, "Oh my God, I'm never gonna come."
She's like, "I don't have a good relationship with this city at all. It was closed because there's no internet, and I couldn't look it up or know any way that it was closed on Thursday." And
then
the wind
the
and the
rain
and
the table and the man,
table,
that mean man.
And I broke up with someone who will never find better things. And the manager was mean to me. And I can't get a cab.
And so this cute sailor gets her a cab.
Well, three of them get out of a cab, and she tries to run after it, and they get it for her. And then they make her roll the window down, and they're like,
"Is that Daniel Sinjata?"
Yes.
Star of Take Me Out, which
He's
also starred
so fucking cute
Dave Eigenberg on Broadway.
No way. Incredible.
Louis LeRoy.
And here's a fun fact real fast. One of them has a goatee. You definitely cannot have goatee or facial hair in the Navy. And there's another thing later that I will bring up. And he's not cute also.
Also, like, this guy's from Louisiana, and they make sure that they run that
not
home.
Not only is he from Louisiana, but
and
he sounds like he's from turn of the century Louisiana.
Outfits.
So, the three of them are hitting the town.
Because Louis LeRoy from Louisiana invites
them
to a boat party to celebrate.
They've got to come to the big old Navy party that night. So, they all get dressed up. Except for Miranda, obviously, because Miranda has a baby and doesn't get to do fun things
anymore.
And
they are in Times Square.
Ploppable, not ploppable.
I would agree.
The outfits?
Yeah.
I would say ploppable in a different color potentially and without the gaudy necklace.
I would say if that if her coat were
people would wear her coat.
Oh yeah, the coat. Yes.
The mattness of the coat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel like people would wear that coat today.
It's too shiny.
No.
People would wear the coat. You're right. I would not.
It looks like pleather.
It does.
It's supposed to. And
look at the way Samantha's walking with her hand, like, carefully draped on her
hip.
Oh,
this
like,
is actually
funniest.
A very funny scene. Charlotte keeps saying things about how she's going to have sex with a random person tonight.
It's so good.
And Carrie and Samantha just keep tripping and being like, whoa, did
Samantha
you hear what I heard?
Samantha almost falls over. Well, first she says it's been more than 6 months, and Samantha almost falls over. And then she says, I'm going to have sex with a sailor tonight.
I'm a whole new Charlotte York, which is funny because it's like New York.
And Carrie's like, oh, gotcha. So
that is something Sarah Jessica Parker does not get to do enough of on the show and is so good at is physical comedy.
Yeah, she's amazing at it. She's so in her body. She's such a good like dancer.
She's a dancer.
Yeah.
Where
they all look
are
amazing.
They?
Also, if I had boobs, that dress Carrie is wearing, I would go out and find. Just like it's so pretty, but I couldn't pull it off without the body she has.
She has a body that is truly like sculpted from
the
guts.
More I
she
watch
sold
it too.
Her soul to someone.
Yeah, she definitely did.
Matthew Broderick.
Ugh. And it resulted in beautiful babies. So there you go.
Oh, bunny, bunny, rabbit, rabbit.
So Carrie's like, the one important thing is that we don't get separated.
Oh, I hate it. It's so hard.
Oh, this is gross. Also, that was just placed there so carefully immediately before that shot.
So it's his umbilical cord.
Okay. We're skipping names. We're jumping places. So Carrie loses all of her friends in the club. And then
the caddy.
We cut to Miranda and Brady's little, you know, when they clamp the umbilical cord, it takes a few weeks for the little bit to fall off the end after
it
dies.
I don't want
to
have kids.
And it falls off. And I mean, I don't know which is worse, shitting while you give birth, because that freaks me out more.
Her hair is back to the color from the previous scene.
It's the normal. It's a good one. Whatever.
Yeah. Sorry. So
it falls off and then fatty.
It falls off and then before she can do anything with the like discarded belly button.
The cat eats it.
But here's the thing. The cat does not eat it. The cat picks it up and then goes and plays with it. So she calls Steve. She finally needs Steve. She's like, Steve, it's so gross. I can't deal with it. You have to get it away from Fatty.
This is like Kyle, me, and the mouse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that cat is so happy to be playing with that little piece of kibble.
Miranda is on the verge of tears. Look
and
at
she
that
doesn't
acting.
Look like Benicule anymore, which is good.
No, she looks beautiful.
And Steve just like...
Steve was there when she was shaken to the core.
And picks up a little belly button.
He might not be her great love, but he was there for that core shaking moment.
And so they're at this Navy party and Charlotte is hooking up with someone.
Okay, this was an unbelievable scene for Charlotte. She also...
Oh my God.
Cutie tiny boy.
Seth Gable. Seth Constantino from university school.
Oh yeah, we know.
We went to high school with this guy.
Oh my God, stop it.
Yeah.
He looks... freshly 18.
Did you ever watch Nip Tuck?
No. Is he on it? Yeah. He looks freshly 18, and he's
married
to Bryce Dallas Howard.
To Bryce Dallas Howard. Yep.
Best friend of Josh
Gad. Baby face boy. Oh, my God.
Go U-School.
Go
wow.
Sons?
He's a cutie, but he looks like freshly 18, and he's kind of hitting on Carrie, and he's like, you remind me of your mom, and she goes,
bye-bye.
Oh, sorry, of my mom. That
nice
wouldn't make sense.
Nice dicky. Samantha just is always ready to go.
She's just all over these cutie sailors. So Charlotte thinks she's like found a nice one. She's found an officer, and she's gently making out with him.
And he goes, show me your tits.
She goes, I can't do that. I barely know you, which once again, I love Charlotte logic. It's like, oh, you can't do it because you barely know him.
Who's that actor?
It's not because you're in public.
Show me one tit.
He looks like a cartoon Clark Kent brought to life.
Can we find out who that actor is?
After we will.
Yeah.
If it's in order. And so Carrie walks up just as Charlotte's showing her tit.
Charlotte pulls a boobie out just in the middle of this club.
And apparently Carrie just cannot deal with boobs.
Well, it's also pretty funny that in the course of about 24 hours, she's going to have run into.
And she runs to Samantha and is like, as everybody
first Charlotte turns to the officer and she goes, I can't do this. Let's just talk.
It's your call, ma'am. It's very sweet.
It turns out Charlotte was caught somewhere between the new and the old, which apparently is
old and the New York.
Oh, there we go. Clever, clever. I missed it. So she can't quite reveal her boobs and move forward and have random sex, but she's getting there.
Samantha's like, where's Charlotte? And she's like, she's showing her boobs.
She's involved
upstairs.
In a little peep show upstairs. I'm really starting to have a newfound respect for that girl. And I love that Samantha's like the opposite of society sometimes, you know?
And Carrie goes, what is it about today? I see Miranda's boobs. I saw Charlotte's boob. Why not just show me your boobs and get it over with? And Samantha's like, okay.
And just pulls down the front of her strapless dress. And all the sailors are like, whoa, yeah, nice. And then Carrie is like, okay, so I'm going to leave. She's basically like, I came, I lost you guys. Everyone's showing their tits. Haven't found the guys who invited me here. I just think I want to go home, which I also deeply relate to.
I can't imagine being at this party.
No.
Oh, there's Daniel Sunjata.
And there he is, the cutie guy. He finds her in the crowd, and he's like, you should dance with me. And listen, I'm a good dancer. And Samantha's kind of watching.
And
like,
he's like, way from Louisiana to dance with a New York City girl.
Once again, he doesn't just sound Southern. He sounds turn-of-the-century Southern. This is the time-bending episode of this show. He has the cutest
dimples. I love
that.
I love Samantha just slowly pushing her into him.
She's like, you're not going to walk away from this.
Samantha's a good friend. There, I said it.
She is. So Carrie is like slow dancing with this guy, and he's got some nice hip movements, and he's kissing her hand, and they're dancing. It really looks pretty romantic, honestly. It's
Mark,
a nice night.
It's either Mark Declan.
I know him from something.
I don't like Carrie's hair like this. At least not with the bang smoothed down in the front and
this
curly
looks weird.
Up.
Yeah, but I feel like
this is like an 8-year-old.
Iconic Carrie length.
I think you're right, but it's something about the styling here. It's like the one time I've looked at her hair and been like, ooh, that does not suit you. Except for those awful extensions.
Ugh, those are bad. And so they're dancing and it's very nice.
They lean into this scene. Like, it's literally about probably 2 minutes of Carrie and this guy slow dancing. But you know what? They're both good dancers, and it's fun to watch. It's kind of hot.
And so Samantha has another voicemail from Richard, and we find out that she's been saving them and listening to them.
So even though she's in the middle of all of these people, all she wants to do is listen to Richard.
And he says, you threw a martini in my face.
And you papered my neighborhood.
Would
and
I still
I'm still
be
calling
you if I didn't love you? And she's like...
She like smiles and sighs to herself
and
then
listens
to it again.
Honestly, though, I get this.
Yeah, I get that 100%. And that's actually something I feel like that's ploppable on a level that like they couldn't anticipate. But I mean, think about when you have like time hop and like, texts. And I still have screenshots of texts
that
like at some point I'll have to delete. Yep. There's nothing quite like that. But I also know that like that kind of it's kind of what I was talking about at the end of the episode last week, that like sadness that you kind of indulge in. It's like pressing a bruise, you know, and sometimes you want to look at it and get that little hit of bruise pressing sadness. And she loves him.
Anyway, yes. So Carrie's talking to
our sweetie Louisiana guy, Louis from Louisiana. And she tells him she's glad she stayed. You know, they had a nice time. And I think she is. It kind of turned the night around.
He's very handsome.
He's so cute.
What do you think it'd be like to kiss those lips?
Nice.
I have little lips.
I do too. But you know what? My ex has a huge ass mouth and it works. So.
Well, he also has a huge ass nose and a dumb ass face.
Wow.
I love Brooke.
I hope that do I have to cut that?
No. Great. So he's like, New York, he says, you know, this is my first trip to New York and it's not for me. And at that moment, Carrie is like, you know what? This has been so good, but I'm going to go home.
And he's like, you're going home all alone?
All alone
is it safe,
me?
Little lady?
Like, you better be careful out there in big, bad New York.
And she salutes him and is like, I'll be fine. It's my
city. Oh, here's another thing. All of them they're inside. You are absolutely never allowed to wear your hat inside. And they're all wearing their hats inside. All the Navy men.
Oh, is that the other thing?
The Navy men. Yep.
I don't know much about Navy men.
Well, I love Amazon Prime, which tells me fun facts during the whole thing.
Okay, so here's what I'll say.
And then she does this monologue that's like, it turns out I'm not single after all. New York is my boyfriend. And the one thing I won't have is someone talking shit about my man.
I just like have hailed plenty of cabs in this city. And it feels like they're more eager to have you in them because that's how they make money than to drive past you. And yet Carrie...
Especially when you're a nice-looking white girl, you know?
I just like...
It doesn't play that she would be skipped by so many cabs, you mean?
Yeah, I'm just like... Especially in Times Square when nobody's around. Also, like, no...
Also, when has Times Square ever been that empty? It's not that empty at 3 a.m.
Or early in the morning. I've
yeah,
been in it when
that
it
I believe.
Nice.
I believe.
Alex?
This was such a season premiere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are only 5 episodes in this season.
8.
Sorry, 8 episodes in season 5.
Yeah, weird.
Isn't that weird? Ploppability?
Is it because of 9/11?
No, we looked last week. They've already premiered.
But this.
But the filming.
The last, they had finished filming the snow globe episode,
uh-huh,
which is recent.
Yeah, it's in the last like five, probably, was the first one that they filmed post.
But I Heart New York and this one are both love letters to New York in sort of a response.
Because of. And the end of the last one, she does this monologue that's like, people change, cities change. And we were reading last week that apparently they actually wrote the script before, but it was like so apt that people thought it had been written
and there
because
was like,
of.
And this thing with a snow globe where it was like, it sort of looks like ash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Should we do who we resonated with first?
Oh, yeah, let's do, sure.
Alex.
Who'd you resonate with? It can be many people.
I actually resonated with Carrie in this episode. Yeah. After all that talk.
About how you're not a Carrie.
How I'm not a Carrie. I sort of resonate the idea of like, as I'm getting older, like things that allowing myself to have a different relationship to the things that I used to enjoy.
Mm.
And being like wow, that used to be fun for me, and now this isn't fun for me.
Interesting. Like being able to let go of some things, or
just like
the other direction too.
Like sort of like, oh, it's okay that that's not fun for me anymore.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Other things are fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Needing some time alone.
Mm.
I am like, I'm definitely an extrovert, but as I'm getting older, my me time, my alone time,
mm-hmm.
becomes more and more valuable to me. And sometimes, you know, when I was in my mid-20s, I just made a rule for myself that was like, you don't have to be somewhere that you don't want to be for more than 8 minutes.
Mm, that's a great, great thing to hold
yourself to. Unless
there
is like an obligation of some kind.
Right.
Professional, financial... Mm-hmm. Or, like, truly...
Friendship, family. Like.
But even with friendship and family, it's like, if this person really
mm-hmm.
is a real friendship family person, and you say to them, I have to leave,
mm-hmm.
the people that are my friendship family people will mm-hmm. understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, or like, I don't want to be around this person anymore. I don't have to be. I can be very polite and very kind and take care of myself in this moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. That has happened
I think we're both at that point.
Well, this happened to me in college. I was like hundo P an extrovert. And I think that's partially like as a kid and as a high schooler. And I think that was...
As a theater kid.
That. And it was also a coping mechanism. And it got me into situations I wanted to be in and out of situations I wanted to be out of. And then I lived here in New York for a summer with my sister. And all I did was nannied. And I had no money. So I couldn't do anything with friends of mine in the city who were like... living here, you know, like on their parents' dime, like having a fun summer. And I felt deeply alienated, and I was living at like 187th. And at the end of that summer, I came out of it and I was like, I would rather at moments, many more moments, be alone than with people ever. And for the first time, you know, the whole classic, the extrovert thing is like, it's not that you like being around people. It's that you literally fill up, you know, like your tank is filled by social interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I still get that, but I must have an equivalent amount of filling the tank by myself
mm-hmm. yeah.
now in a way I never did before. And I'm curious as I get closer to 32 if that'll deepen or what it'll look like. But it's...
Yeah.
Other than Carrie, did you have
Philip
other...
in Hamilton.
That's right. He's one of the ones who dies.
Spoiler!
Spoiler! Don't Google it.
Bridgie?
Did you relate to anyone else, or was this like really Carrie?
I was envious of the way that Samantha committed to her resentment.
Mm. Mm.
Like, she's like, I think because of some people in our life, I am very careful not to hold grudges.
Interesting.
And I've been that way my whole life.
To a fault, I think, for me.
Yeah, to a fault for me as well.
Fascinating.
And being able to... I still have a hard time being able to say, person, you have hurt me and I am mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. It's
I
really
can't
hard.
Do that, but I will remove myself. I won't do it in I am a deep grudge holder.
Yeah.
I'm like the reverse. I think I collected both of your non-holding grudges and stewed it deep into myself.
I'm trying to be better about
That's
it.
That's actually something that Alex and I do so well in our relationship. We're really
yeah, you guys
good
are
at
impressive.
Communicating with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're really good at we have a rule, we don't go to bed angry. And sometimes that means we stay up talking, fighting till 4 a.m. when we have work at 9 a.m. Because
but you'd
we
rather
will
do
not
that.
Go to bed angry.
Yeah. I like that. And I think committing to something like that is the way that you like commit to each other. You know, you set boundaries or rules and you do them together. Yeah. Brooke?
I don't really, I mean, like,
no, not a distinctive.
I like love this episode, but right now I don't feel like I'm going through anything really like that. Maybe, you know, Carrie kind of just like someone saying something to me and like letting it create this whole like existential journey, like coming to a conclusion that is like, well, I've had my, at least I have myself. Mm-hmm. And I think just like maybe some, Samantha's just like I presenting as one thing, even if that, if that thing is like super resentful, but like in her private moments, like being actually like sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Bridget?
I think I feel similarly that not a lot of them was I like, oh, yeah, definitely. Like, no Charlotte really here. No, I feel a little bit of the, of Carrie just like being with herself, you know, like I get that. But in a significant way, I felt very Samantha this episode. Mm-hmm. In like the last 3 weeks, I've been having like big conversations with myself where I'm like, it is possible to at once be proud of the way I have conducted myself in really difficult situations and to accept that I can still feel like deeply bitter and more to the point like deeply betrayed in a way that doesn't govern my actions, but that doesn't mean that I can pretend I don't feel those ways, if that makes sense. Like, like part of my being like, wow, I've handled this all so well is that I like wasn't allowing myself to admit that I also like felt that. And I've just come to terms in the last few weeks with being like, oh, I am deeply, deeply hurt.
Yeah.
And I think
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. It's a process being alive.
Honestly.
But I resonated with her in this episode too. And there's kind of that breathtaking moment when she goes to see Richard where you're like, what will she do and what does she want to do? And where like the things she does might not have, you know, throwing a drink in his face and leaving wasn't actually really what she wanted to do. But, you know, she's making like the hard choices.
And even that wasn't enough for her.
And I also feel that. I will say that what has come with betrayal and bitterness is like a seething rage that I think time will appease. But in the meantime, fantasies of revenge are what appeases it. And I'm not a Samantha and that I do not do in the way that she does. And I do not like commit outwardly in that way. But I feel her. You know, if I could fucking paper a neighborhood, I would.
Yeah.
That's like the exact thing I've wanted to do, actually.
I know.
You know.
Same for you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Plobability.
What do you think, Alex?
I think, yeah, super plobable.
I would say most of it, honestly, is. I think there are moments that we said during the show where we were like, technology would enhance this plot line. You know, like it would be different in 2018. But there was, I don't think there's anything in this one that like doesn't fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it's easier in 2018 to be a divorcee than in 2001?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just think that watching this show has reinforced for me how much like culturally and socially we have a long way to go, but how much just like norms have changed, especially for women.
About marriage, like at being married and when and if that's a thing that needs to happen.
I think it still exists.
Of course.
All of that pretty intensely.
Yeah.
And maybe we just don't feel the pressure for it yet in the same way. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I remember thinking back on this time and thinking, not thinking it was so radical. But probably that's because I was being raised on it.
Right.
And this was how I was learning that it wasn't that radical.
Interesting.
To be a divorced woman.
The show, Impact.
It's really not that radical to be a divorced woman.
Oh my God, it's not at all.
At all.
But I also think that sometimes that's a class thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree. I think if you are the higher socioeconomic class you are, the more shame there is around a divorce.
Yeah. Especially at WASPy.
But also the better set up you are to fucking care for yourself forever and like go back to your easy life.
Yeah.
That's just a Charlotte thing, you know, but yeah, I think that's a good observation because Charlotte exists kind of in a socioeconomic bracket differently from everyone else in this show.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Can you imagine the version of the Samantha plot of this episode with the social media aspect thrown in?
No. I mean, I can. But
do you think that it would still, she would still, I hope that in 2018 she would still paper a neighborhood, because I think that's fucking hilarious.
I also just think it's like, it reminds me of the scene in 10 Things I Hate About You where she throws the papers down the stairwell for the party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like any scene like that, you're just like, that's a scene for a screen, you know, like it's so good.
Yeah. Well, I just think, and thinking in the same way that we like, the Natasha Big carry of it all, mm-hmm. would have been much different.
Well, if we're really going to get into that, here's what I think. A couple of things. Samantha's online reputation would matter hugely because she's a PR person. Mm-hmm. So she would already have the online persona. So if she was going to do something that involved the internet, it wouldn't be like, here's social media posts about this man who's fucked me over.
Because no.
Like, that's not her point either here. It's not about her.
Yeah.
It's like she wants to ruin him.
Yeah.
So she might, but it would be crafty.
Yeah.
It would be really crafty.
Yeah.
Great. Is that it?
I do think Miranda's storyline would be different. I don't think there would be so much hired help, or if there was, it would be talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, it was mentioned.
That's true. Or more to the point, perhaps, like, what Miranda is doing as, like a single
those
mom.
Two, yeah, I think that the Magda and the Lena would be one person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. How is everybody's week?
Delta up, delta down. Let's go.
D-downs.
Of the week.
Of the week.
Mm-hmm. My delta down of the week is that I am sick. I've been sick.
Bummy.
And I broke out in hives.
God, that's the worst.
Yeah.
There's so many variables with hives.
But I'm feeling way better. And my delta up is that I've got a little more free time now.
Mm.
And so I'm going to be able to plan some fun days.
Yeah,
I'm excited for you.
And I'm going on this week.
Yeah. Nice.
For a big role that I understudy, which I'm excited about.
Hamilton.
In Hamilton. I'm going on for Hamilton.
A big role that he understudies.
Which is good because I can't do the bullet. Still.
Yeah, still.
Damn.
Because you're ballet.
Because of my ballet. My half sack.
Bridget.
Yes. My delta up is that I got some sleep this weekend for the first time in a long time, which is great.
You looked cute as hell this weekend.
Thank you. I tried to wear fun clothes because I just so can't do that in my rest of my life now. My delta up is that I saw friends and had a nice time this weekend, and that it's September, which I'm really happy about. My delta down is that I got some nasty bug bites that are so bad they literally just turned into terrible itchy bruises overnight, which was fun. It's still hot as hell, which I would like to change.
It's going to change, isn't
it? Soon enough, I think. Today was, I think, the last, like, hot, but it's still going to be warm.
Thursday's going to be 90 degrees.
Oh, cool.
And then after that,
we're good. Smooth sailing.
We're good.
Fingers crossed.
And also just this sadness, the little sadness friend on my shoulder from last week is, like, maybe a little bigger and just, like, very present in my life. But, you know, it's, like I said, not debilitating, a little indulgent. And I'm like 3 weeks into my new job and just really, I'm where I should be. And it's a good thing. It's a really good feeling.
I feel great about that for you.
Brooke's a good friend. Brooke.
My delta up is that I got cupped.
Oh yeah.
And it actually feels so nice. It looked like a horrible thing. My friend Lauren goes, looks like you got slapped by an octopus.
Oh.
But, she
Those
talks
some
like that kind
big
of
big tentacles. Some big suckers.
Yeah, they were good. But like my shoulders are coming down. And nice. Oh, and then I'm teaching Mamma Mia Sculpt on Sunday.
That's gonna be my death, everyone.
10:30 AM on the Upper West Side if you're available. I mean, it's selling out, so get it while you're hot. And while I'm hot, while it's hot. No, it's gonna be honestly so
fun. It's gonna be hot.
Is it hot yoga?
It's heated. 75 minutes. It's not yoga. Anyway. I mean,
it's like a workout. I'm like, gonna die, Alex. I'm gonna die.
It's gonna be fine. You're gonna go in the corner and you're gonna take child's pose whenever the fuck you need it.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna give you a little docky massage. And then my delta down is that my anxiety's back.
Hey, we got a few days in there.
It was like a really good. I was like, whoa, this is great. This must be forever. And then I woke up and I was like, oh, it felt like someone has taken an ice cream scoop to my chest.
That's fascinating because this week on Friday afternoon of last week, I had a moment where for like the first time in living memory, I was like, I just felt my anxiety switch on. I went from everything is fine to everything is probably not fine and I'm going to cry about it.
Yeah.
And it was the first time, because normally it like creeps up and then in the afternoon I'm like, oh wow, I've come into this terrible place. It was really weird.
Yeah. And you know, I just had a moment this weekend where I was like, I know that something is going to happen that is going to upset me. Mm. And I saw the thing that was going to upset me and I still was like,
upset by it.
I was like, go to it, Brooke. Yes. Go to the thing that's going to upset you. Yeah, it's going to upset you, but it's there for you. And I was like,
oh, I know.
Here we go. And I did it and I got upset.
Indulge, baby.
And I got dogpiled by my friends and they were like, take your moment. And then we went in the pool.
I mean, if you're going to have a bad moment, do it in Connecticut with a bunch of friends in a pool.
Lily was like, excuse me. What's happening? And I was like lying in bed. And she was like, uh-huh. And I was like, I don't want to talk about it. And she was like,
uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this is what's happening.
Here are 10,000 words.
It's great. I have really the best friends and I love them. And Bridget, Alex.
Yeah.
If you wanted, how could a person find you on social media?
Oh, yeah. You can find me at Twitter and Instagram at Zelawoo, X-E-L-A. W-U-U, that is X-E-L-A, which is Alex backwards, W for my middle name, which is William, and then U plus U, which is W for Wiseman. I was in third grade and 8 years old when I came up with that.
And he still has it.
That's crazy.
I mean, mini mom 787, because I was just like my mom. I was 7, turning 8, but I'm still 7.
787, man.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah. 7, turning 8. But still 7.
787. That's also like when I was born, 787.
Oh, you didn't think about that one, did you?
I bet mom did that on purpose.
So you would always have your brother's birth date in here.
Who, me? Your brother? Why, I'm your brother.
I heard an amazing story about you fairly drunk one night coming home to tell Brooke that you are her as a boy.
That was so oh my God, wait, when was that?
That like was when 3 weeks that ago. That was when you, I forget where you were, but Alex and I were just playing Pandemic.
Uh-huh.
And you came home and you were just, where were you coming from? Someone, they must have thrown you a party.
They must have thrown you a party. That happens, right?
They didn't throw us a party, but we threw ourselves a party. We throw ourselves parties a lot.
I know, but I don't remember what this one was for. Maybe it was someone's birthday. I don't know.
Maybe
but
it was
Alex
Sunday.
Alex just kept, like, it wasn't this Sunday.
No, a Sunday.
No, I don't remember. But he just kept coming up to me and circling his face, pointing at me and going, this is what you look like as a boy. Going into his room, popping your head out and being like, this is what you look like as a boy. You as a boy.
I did come home drunk last Sunday night. At 4 a.m. and I woke Alex up and I just said, you're kind of my husband. And he was like, no, I'm not. He's like, you're my husband. And he's
you
like,
you in this matrimony thing.
I'm not. And he's like, but you are. And he said, I kind of am.
And then you went to sleep.
Yeah.
Lovely.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Drunk Alex is my favorite.
Yeah.
Brookie, where can I find you on social meds?
I mean... You can find me on Twitter at Brooke_Wiseman. And I'm thinking of a spooky fall name.
You have such a good name to play with for things like that.
Spooky. There it is.
Wow.
No, it's not.
Spooky.
And then you can find me on Instagram at BrookeWiseman. No _. And if you put the _, I will...
sick your brother on her.
No. That's not going to do anything.
And that's the podcast. Thank you for being on the show, Alex. The show.
You can find me on social media at Mrs. Burt Macklin.
No, I don't
on
want
Twitter
Bridget.
Or BridgetM37 on Instagram.
Say it slower so the world can hear you.
You can find me at Mrs. Burt Macklin. Ooh, on Twitter.
I just got chills.
Here, no, we're practicing. Hello, caller.
Oh.
If you'd like, you can find me tonight on Mrs. Burt Macklin. Or you can find me on Instagram at BridgetM37 if you're feeling frisky.
Watch out, wow! Julia Murney. You're coming for Julia Murney's track.
Oh, that's good, though.
Samantha's got nothing on me.
And
collectively, we are at Splat
Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter, on Instagram, at gmail.com.
Please rate, review, subscribe. Please love us.
iTunes, Acast.
Two seasons left.
We have a season and a half.
Yeah, because there are only 8 episodes this season. Remember it?
Have you thought about what you're going to do next? May I offer a suggestion?
Please.
Chicago Fire.
Goodbye. Thanks, bye.
Bye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.